we could not express it like we really feel it. You'll just have to come and see. Remember, we're on the Jonesboro Highway, 1 mile south of the paper mill. God has really been blessing in our services. We're looking forward to a mighty move of God in the times to come. This past Friday night, we were blessed with my father and my mother, who came and ministered to us in the Word of God and in song. And we're going to join the Friday night service. That's the regular midweek service in the Jesus Only Apostolic Church. And we're going to listen in to a portion of this message by Marvin Rutledge, who is the pastor of the Apostolic Church in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Now let's join the Friday night service in progress.
Thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again? Hallelujah. And that thy people may rejoice in thee, show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Just think what God has done for us. We can't afford to turn again to folly. I don't want to backslide. I don't believe in backsliding. Some folks do it, but I still don't believe it. How can we turn again to folly after all that God has done for us? He's done everything His Word promised He would. Thank God He has made something of us who were nothing. I read to you about natural Israel and God bringing them back to the land of promise and restoring them again into the land that He gave them. Bless the land with the children of Israel's return. And yet, most of us from childhood, we didn't know much about this. At least I didn't. I grew up in darkness for a few years. I didn't understand much about God's plan. It was the healing message that first brought me in contact with God and God's people. And as a little boy, 7 years old, I had my first contact with a group of people who called themselves holiness. They call them holy rollers. They call themselves holiness people. And I remember having blood poisoning in my hand from a barbed wire scratch. And I heard my mother and dad talking. And in those days, we didn't have a lot of the modern drugs that they have nowadays. And I remember the medicine that my mother used on that swollen hand with red stripes running up my arm. It was rolled oats, just plain oats like you have for breakfast, mixed with water, I presume. And she made what she called a poultice and wrapped that around my hand and to draw the poisoning out. But I heard them talking, said, you know, those holy rollers claim that they can heal. Now, they don't really. But that's what that's what they say about the people of God. They claim that they can heal. Whatever we have done is not of our own doing and not of our own sufficiency. It's by the name of Jesus and the power of God. You shall receive power, said Jesus. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Before I go farther with that, I'm going to tell you something. If we would pray and believe, we could see a great sign right here in this church tonight. And I'm not following signs, but I'm telling you that if we would believe, before this service is over, we could have a telephone call that girl in a coma at the hospital has revived. Now, I have drawn a line before many times and asked God to meet it, and He has. And I'm telling you, God can work miracles right here tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's praise God and ask Him for faith. Jesus, help us our faith to believe. Glory to God forever. Hallelujah. Grant it, Lord. Grant it, Lord. Grant it, Lord. Grant it, Lord. Amen, 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 amen. So they taken me to the group of people who prayed for me, and that beginning of the move of God in my life has helped me to be where I am tonight. Now, I've not attained great accomplishments, but I'm very thankful for everything God has done for me. When those folks gathered around me that night and prayed for me, just a little boy, and I didn't know anything about what they were doing, and my folks were not really believing. It was the mercy of God. They just said, well, it won't hurt. We'll take him over there and see. It's strange how God moves. Sometimes right where you think people ought to have the most faith, little things happen sometimes. And then just a little mustard seed faith, just somebody that needs to know something about God. God moves in such a miraculous way. And when those folks prayed for me that night, there was a warmth went through my body. There was a feeling that I'd never felt before. Now, that's been 46, 47 years ago. But I remember it as if it was just yesterday.
Hallelujah.
And I told my folks, they were constantly asking. We had walked to church. I used to say 4 miles. But I used to tell my kids, I walked 4 miles to school. I read somewhere, the older dad gets, the farther he walked to school. And I used to say that we had walked 4 miles to church that night, but I went home and clocked it with my automobile, and would you believe it was just 2 miles? But it seemed like four. And we were going home that night. They didn't even stay for church, but all the way home, my mother would say, how does it feel? Are you feeling better, son? And I'd say, I'm healed, or I'm well. I don't remember my exact words, but I knew that the Lord had made me whole. Now, if God had never done another thing for me, except that, how could I return to folly after the blessings of God? Blood poisoning, tetanus, is a very severe thing. Praise God. We got home and lit the old kerosene lamp. Have I lost any of you? You know what I'm talking about? The old lamp. And hurriedly unwrapped that bandage with those oats and washed them off, and green poison was running out of my hand. And by the next morning, there was nothing there but just a sore that was getting well. Can I return to folly? If that's all that God had ever done for me, then I ought to still be praising Him 47 years later. But that's not all God's done for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And as I tell you some of the things that God has done for me, and you're thinking already of some of the things that God has done for you, and yet some of us have forgotten somewhere along the way some of the great benefits of God. How good God has been to us. How good God's been to you right here in, what is this, Balkanville. Blessed you this beautiful assembly, and your brothers and sisters, and has seen you through good times and bad times. And you're still, as a family, knit together, as a building, fitly praying together. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But I was remembering then just a few years later when, now I didn't find God at that tender age. I didn't know anything about Him. All I knew was that He was a healer. And that's good to know. A lot of folks have not learned that yet. A lot of people have never been healed because they've never prayed for healing, or they've never been prayed for. And you don't dare ask anybody how you feel nowadays, unless you want to spend at least 15 minutes of hearing all the operations. Well, you know the story. But sometimes, I know we're all headed in that direction. I don't know what's waiting for me tomorrow, so I'm not throwing off on anybody that's sick. Please understand. But at the same time, when are we going to learn that God is what He has always been? He used to heal. He still heals. He used to bless people until they would shout and run the aisle and speak with tongues and glorify God. And He still is a God of blessing today. Hallelujah. I'm saying what God was, He is. What God is, He'll continue to be. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And knowing this, how can I turn to folly? How can I go back to where I came from? Of course, I found God at 17. I wish I could say 7, but it was later that I heard the gospel message. I remember 1939, a 14-year-old. You're going to figure out my age yet. You listen, Brother Franks, when you call me elder, now if you're talking in scriptural terms, preacher, I'm all for that. But now if you're talking about old age, I'm not there yet. Like my grandmother, who was sick in 84, and my wife said, Grandma, we thought it was time for her to go into a nursing home where she could get better care. She was living with my father, and things were not too good for them, and we thought it would be better if she'd come to Pine Bluff and be in a nursing home close to us where we could see after and where she'd have better care. And so my wife was trying to sell Grandma Rutledge on the idea of a nursing home. And she said, now bear in mind, Grandma was 84 and sick and been sick for some time. And my wife said, now Grandma said, when I get old, she said, I think I'd like to be in a nursing home. And Grandma Rutledge said, well, me too, when I get old. Grandmother Raines is 99. I met with her the other day on her birthday, and she and I sung a song, a hallelujah side. She didn't miss a word. I got mixed up on it. She didn't miss a word. 99 years old. Hallelujah. And when she was 90-something, I think she was 97, and she said, I don't know why I can't walk. I just don't understand why my legs is giving away on me. And one of her daughters said, my Lord, Ma, said, you're almost 100 years old. She said, yeah, but I want to live another 100. Well, she'll not make it in this life, but I want to tell you something. Our God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, praise God, He also is the resurrection and the life. And Jesus said, do you believe it? He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, he that believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this? Of course, he wasn't talking about the physical, but he's talking about something inside. If this outer man be dissolved, we have something on the inside that shall never be dissolved. Say, since I know this, do I dare go back to folly? I can't afford to. That's like someone asked me about the scripture here a while back. They said, please explain to me, he that is born of God doth not commit sin. It's pretty hard, isn't it? Doth not commit sin. What y'all been doing all week? Well, thank God. No hands raised that you've been committing any sin. Hadn't got no confessions here yet, have we? He that's born of God doth not commit sin, because his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. And they said, see, you can't sin if you're a Christian. Even if you cuss, you're not sinning. Now, wait a minute. I believe they've got the wrong interpretation on that somehow. Said, you might even get drunk, but it's not sin if you're born of God. I don't believe that. I believe sin is sin wherever it is. Now, here's what I believe about that. I think the next part of that verse clarifies that. Because he is born of God. In other words, you might say, hey, Brother Rutledge, how about coming down and go fishing with me Sunday? I've already made a date with this brother back here to go. But we're going to leave you after church sometime. But you might say, how about coming down and go fishing with me Sunday? You know what I'd say? I can't. Now, really, I could. But on the other hand, I can't, because I'm pastor of a church, because I've got Sunday school, because I've got church, because I've got something more important to do. You see? He that's born of God doth not commit sin, because his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because He's got something greater to do. He can't go back to folly. He knows the healer. He knows the Savior. He knows the great God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the Lord. I was 14 years old when an older man came to our community. And he said he was led of God to preach a revival meeting. Now, if you knew the community that I'm talking about, I went back here a while back. We used to move so often. And I don't want to go back there, but I want to go on. I want to go on to the blessings of Almighty God. Hallelujah. But in that day, just a community with a store and a schoolhouse and a few houses and then a farming area. And we were about 6 miles to the closest town of any size, 9 miles to the next town, and the closest town of 20,000 or more would be Jonesboro, and that was 30 miles. And when I was examined for the Army in 1943, we were on our way, and I never had been out of Lawrence County or Randolph County, and got to Newport, and I asked the boy with me, I said, is this Little Rock? And he said, no, silly, this is Newport. I hadn't hardly got out of town, you know, but out of the country. But this preacher came to our community and said, God sent him. Now, that was strange talk for our people because they hadn't heard about God sending people. We had preachers in the community, but they just took it on as a job, most of them. And this one said that God sent him. And he started a revival meeting between some buildings, not a brush arbor, actually, but an open-air meeting. And he had tie slabs and logs for seats. And they had seats about twice as many, I presume, as there is right here tonight. And it was estimated 1,000 people eventually attended that revival meeting in 1939 in the country, where you'd have to go several miles to get 1,000 people together. But that man had a message that we had never heard. Now, when I was prayed for at 7 years old, these people didn't know the effectiveness of the name of Jesus. They prayed for me for healing in the name of Jesus, but they had not heard of baptizing in the name of Jesus. I'm glad that we learned that not only do we pray for the sick in the name of Jesus, but that salvation is also in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Love God. Worship Him a little while. Hallelujah! Praise God. This revival, I remember, it was 9 weeks long. And we went every night except one or two. My dad was not a Christian. My mother was. As far as she knew, at this point, she had not yet been baptized in Jesus' name. She had received the Holy Ghost shortly after I had been healed as a little boy. But I remember when this man began to preach, we would go every night during the farming time of the year and crop time. And my dad would say, he'd say, well, we're not going tomorrow night. It stayed till midnight and 1 o'clock and sometimes later. And the next night we'd find ourselves right back in that open air meeting where the preacher was preaching. And after 2 or 3 weeks, he began to tell us some things that we had never heard. He began to tell about the name of Jesus and the power that's in the name of Jesus and the glory that's in the name of Jesus and the strength that's in the name of Jesus and the victory that's in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! He ended up baptizing over 100 people in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Somewhere toward that number received the glorious experience of the Holy Ghost. I witnessed that. You think I can go back now after I found out this? I don't want to go back to the folly of this world. This world has nothing to offer. Give me Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. A short time after this, I remember, it was a few years. Sister Rutledge and I were married in 1943. And in 1944, my grandmother was very, very sick. My mother's mother, her name was Davis. And so we were in the home. In those days, people would die at home a lot of times and didn't have money to go to the hospital to begin with. And some of them didn't believe in going to the hospital. But she was very, very sick. The neighbors had come in. And they were They were there to see her die, you know, and to lend a helping hand. House was full of people. And she had not been able to speak for several days to where you could hear her, just a very weak voice. My grandmother had the Holy Ghost baptized in Jesus' name. She's one of them 1939 models that this brother preached the 9 weeks meeting, and she received the light on baptism in Jesus' name. And here 5 years later, she's dying, but she had faith in God. And on this night, they were working with her, and my dad and my uncle, I remember very well, as we were praying, I was standing on one side of the bed, my wife was on the other side. We were just kids. We married 16 and 17 years old. And we've been married a long time, still young, see, and been married 36 years. But I remember my cousin, who was 12, was at the foot of the bed, and some other people had been praying, but they said, "Grandma's gone." Now, I'm not pronouncing her dead tonight. I don't know. It doesn't make any difference. God's able to do all things. Little things, big things. But they folded her arms, and they was getting ready to pull a sheet up over her head because they thought she was dead. They could find no pulse and no breath, and she was gone as far as my dad and my uncles were concerned. And somehow, though, somehow, we felt like praying. We didn't stop. We never did stop. We just kept praying. Just kids, but we just kept praying. Hallelujah. I'm talking about what God's done for us. And after all of these things, can I afford to go back to the folly of this world? You think I want to go back with no hope and no blessing and no power and no revelation and no truth and no victory and no outlook for the future? And we just prayed and prayed and prayed, and you know what? After a while, one of those folded arms came up. Praise God. It's a truth. And then the other one came up. And then she began to glorify God in a loud voice. She hadn't talked above a whisper in several days. And now she threw, I can see her now, she had on a flannel gown. An old, long, white flannel gown. She threw her bare feet off on the floor, and they were trying to throw something around her, and she came off of that bed loping. I mean loping, up and down, praising God, glorifying God. I witnessed sinner men fall on their faces like dead men that night. They fell on their faces, my dad and my uncle, my grandmother's son. He fell on his face, and he cried, and he praise God, and he promised God. But I'm sorry to say, 10 days later, he went back to the folly. God gave him his mother back. God restored her to health for several months before she died with another affliction. Praise God. But I'm telling you, folks, I found out what God is back yonder. I'm not rejoicing of the past, Brother Garrison. I'm not wanting to go back there, but I want to use that as a club to whip the devil with. I want the devil to know. I don't want to go back. I want to go forward. I'm not interested in folly. I'm interested in victory. And the God that brought Israel back is going to take us to the place that he's promised us. Love him. Love him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I'm sure my son has told you some of these things, but this is one he might have missed. He'll get around to telling all of them. And you check with me once in a while. Just be for sure that he's telling you the truth. But he will. We appreciate him and his family. But he has brittle bones, especially when he was younger. He's had his arms and legs broken several times, fingers broken. Once he came in, I think he was trying to rob a bird nest or something, and he came in and his arm, not at the wrist, right back here, was bent over like this, you know. And he came in and said, "Daddy, I think I broke my arm." I think it was broke, sure enough, you know. But we went to Mount Crest to a camp meeting. That's up around Fayetteville, Arkansas, years ago. He was about 7. No, he wasn't. He was 5. This was 1950, and he was born in 45. I know. I was there. But I remember while we were unloading, they had bunks, like Army bunks. He gets on the top bunk. And would you believe he starts jumping up and down on the spring, like boys will do, foolish boys. And there's a concrete floor, and he bounced off of that bunk, and that would be, what, 6 feet, 6 or 7, and falls flat on his back on that concrete floor and screams like he's dying. And a band of ministers gathered around him. I could call some of the names now. It appeared that his back was broken. I wouldn't be surprised, since his arms and legs and ribs and fingers have been so easily broken through the years. I wouldn't be surprised, but what his back was broken. But we prayed, and instantly, God raised him up. I don't know how to diagnose it. I don't know where it was broken or not, but it makes very little difference. Some of you maybe have never had any healings, but God's been so good to you that you were never sick. And that's better than being healed. So you ought to give God the praise for it. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I've just heard the preaching of Marvin Rutledge from Pine Bluff, Arkansas. He's my father, and he was with us this past Friday night in the Jesus Only Apostolic Church, and we enjoyed the service so much we thought we would share it with you, and we're sure you enjoyed it this morning. Once again, we'd like to invite you to the Jesus Only Apostolic Church. We're located 1 mile south of the paper mill on the Jonesboro Highway. The church was founded by Brother W.T. Hemphill, a great man of God who is still with us in the Jesus Only Apostolic Church. I'm the newly elected active minister in the church, and we're so glad to be here with our family, working with these dear people in the Jesus Only Apostolic Church. The music you hear in the background is the choir of the church. They'll be singing tonight. Why don't you be with us this morning at 10 o'clock and this evening at 7? On behalf of Brother Hemphill and all the saints at the Jesus Only Apostolic Church, this is Ren Rutledge saying so long, and may God richly bless you.